Welcome back to the Brokest Guy in the Room. This is Chris Kushner. Yesterday was an interesting day. It was the Balinese or Hindu equivalent of Christmas here. It's a very holy day where they spend the day going from temple to temple to temple, you know, praying for various different purposes. For me, this was a day where I woke feeling under the weight of my Crohn's disease, under the stresses of the reality that I'm here in the Far East in Bali with a wife and businesses back in the West in New York, and trying to, at the same time, build a business, a new vacation rental here to kind of be the proof of concept for a real estate management company. Also commissioning paintings to bring back to sell at some art sales back in the States, all to generate revenue to bring back here and build further villas. All working towards the goal of one day having enough villas or a large enough company that I can support providing free room and board to young people who are interested in teaching English lessons for free to underprivileged children here in Bali. This is a dream that kind of came to me as a way to give back to the place that gave me so much and continues to give me so much. Most importantly, what Bali gave me was a shift in perspective. At a time when my life felt broken and I felt I was struggling, I was struggling beyond belief. I found this place, or it found me, and in it I found myself. And that self was not the same person who'd been staring me in the mirror all these years. Simple shift in perspective, and I saw that human being as something completely different, something so much more capable than what I had felt from the other side of the mirror. It's amazing what we are capable of if we allow ourselves, if we give ourselves permission to believe, to dream, to reach. For the longest time, I spent my life enshrouded in doubt and not being able to see the things in me that everyone around me seemed to be able to see so easily. Sometimes we got to give ourselves a little bit of credit. And sometimes we got to expose the way that we're actually feeling. I think a lot of people, particularly a lot of men, walk around with the fear of being vulnerable. And, you know, we kind of walk around telling everybody everything's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. When behind closed doors, we just want to fall apart. I'm curious how many people listening are dealing with this right now. How many people listening feel like they can't let anyone in? Feels like nobody will ever understand the things that you do. There's a quote that I love, and I may not get it 100% right here, but it's something to the effect of, no one will ever know the violence that it took to make this stillness. Something along those lines. And what I find beautiful about that is that it is almost like there's a war going on inside at all times as we go through our day to day and try and be the strength for other people. Fulfill our daily responsibilities, be able to do all the things that are not just expected of us, but needed of us from those who depend on us, those who love us, those who may even be two products down, you know, someone affected by somebody who's affected by somebody who's affected by the decisions we make. This is what a lot of people don't consider when they go out in their day to day and they just kind of, you know, travel through life not realizing the impact of every decision they make. Yesterday, I saw, right before I went to bed, I saw a post from a good friend of mine, indicating that somebody on this island, somebody who's near and dear, had been killed in a scooter accident. This hits particularly hard as just a couple nights ago on my way home, I had gone out to dance, and on my way home, three people on scooters who were clearly way too drunk to be driving were having way too much fun, and they were, you know, flying down the road, swerving in and out. And right as I started to get a little nervous and decided I wanted to get past them, I started to speed up to try and do so, and the three of them collided right in front of me. Thankfully, in that one, no one was severely injured, but the idiots still proceeded to laugh and hoot and holler and speed away. So I guess I can say I assume nobody got hurt. I don't really know that they got home safely. Thankfully, I was able to get home safely, and it gave me a lot to reflect on. Myself, I've survived four motorcycle accidents, two of which were total losses. One of which happened to be on the morning of the worst day of my life, a day where later on in that same day, not long after I would get home still bleeding in my suit, I'd get a phone call that a tractor trailer carrying a load of vehicles lost its brakes coming down the hill and smashed into the building adjacent to the Subway franchise that I owned at the time. And I remember arriving on scene and seeing a man holding the hand of his dying pregnant wife as she was pinned to the wall by this truck. Now, this accident in particular happened because the driver failed to properly check his vehicle, check his brakes. Vehicle was not properly inspected. Negligence caused this. And the damage that happens from negligence across the board is incredible. You know, a temporary miscalculation that causes permanent results. And in the end, both the victim and the offender end up as victims. The other total loss that I experienced on the back of a motorcycle was an interesting story. I was, my father-in-law and I had purchased Harley Davidsons down at a Harley shop in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. And a year later, he wanted to trade up, and the offer that he got on his bike was half of what he had just paid for it from the same place less than a year later. And quite frankly, I thought this was ludicrous. And so I made an offer to purchase the bike myself. But of course, first you want to test drive it. So my wife and I, his daughter, were to head down and pick the bike up at Bang's Paramedic, where my father-in-law worked at the time as a paramedic. And we were going to take it for a spin. Now, on this particular day, I had reached for my half helmet because it was hot. And my wife said, if you don't take a full helmet, I'm not getting on the back of that thing with you. So, of course, you know, smart man listens to his wife. So I grabbed my full helmet. Well, we went down, we picked up the bike, and we took off. And we got up on Route 96 there, Taconic Boulevard, just past Cuga Medical. And we took a left on Gray Road. And right as we did, I started to hit the gas. We weren't even going that fast. Couldn't have been going more than 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, really. So we had just taken the turn. I feel my wife violently slapping me on the shoulder. And I look to the left and I see a deer. And so I gently tap the brake for just a second. I mean, it was more of a nerve reaction. And me doing that sent a signal to the deer to try and get across the road. Well, deer ran out into the road, and I ran it over on this Harley and start to, you know, fishtail around and slowly started to regain control. And for a moment, I felt I was going to be okay until I looked down. When I looked down, what I saw were crazed black eyes. This thing was pinned under the bike and was kicking for dear life to get free. It kicked the back tire, sending it up into the air, which catapulted me through the air, flying in like Superman position. I landed on my face and rolled into a scorpion position. My wife was smart enough to jump off the side of the bike, and she rolled and got road rash on her leg. And I lay there on my back in disbelief. I remember wiggling my fingers and toes and thinking, am I still alive? As I was flying through the air, I distinctly remember seeing the ground coming. First, I saw the deer, and in my insanity in the moment, I actually had the urge to reach down and grab the deer around the neck. But then I realized how fast the ground was coming up on me. And I realized that it was coming too fast for me to tuck my head. And the last thing I remember thinking before impact was, I'm about to break my neck. Somehow my neck did not break, but most certainly that helmet that my wife made me put on saved my life that day. That was a day I'll never forget. Why am I telling you this story? Because the choices we make affect things and people we would never even imagine. Had my wife not made me put on that helmet that day, I wouldn't be here today. And I can tell you, I plan to impact and to change a lot of lives here. And none of that would have happened unless my wife did what she did that day. Flip the scenario to the dark side of the coin, and had that truck driver that day done what he was supposed to, a man wouldn't have lost his wife and unborn child. It's up to us to pay attention to what we do on a daily basis, to have intention, to live lives that are about uplifting other people, not just simply self-gratifying or taking, putting other people down. It's all within our choice. It's all stuff up to us. We can be the light in somebody else's darkness, or we can be the darkness that consumes the light. I, for one, make a conscious choice and will make a conscious choice every day to be that light. And on the flip side of that, I, for one, am one who, when I feel that darkness, make a conscious choice not to let it affect somebody else's light. Because the consequences of temporary feelings that motivate permanent actions are too grave for me to live with. Finding strength in the ability to help other people has been something that I turn to over and over and over again. You've heard me talk about this before. Something that came up in the yoga class, you know, sort of a mantra: when you can't be strong for you, be strong for someone else. Because there's always someone else in your life who would inspire that strength if they needed it. There's always somebody else in your life, even if you don't know it yet, for whom you're supposed to be the hero, for whom you will be the hero. You are the hero. Last night, trying to sleep, I have been overwhelmed and anxious. The truth is that around this time of year, it's difficult to get things done here. And by here, I mean Bali and Indonesia. We are approaching the Ramadan holiday, which is a Muslim holiday that lasts a month, during which Muslims fast and cease work. And knowing that this holiday has been approaching, I have been watching my construction project slowly but surely sputter out into a stall. And I desperately needed this project to be done prior to my March 14th departure back to New York. And as I sit here, I'm seeing that is just becoming less and less of even a possibility. And this caused me to be tossing and turning, and inevitably, anytime I get stressed, my good old Crohn's disease buddy that I carry around with me starts to demand attention. And I literally watched my stomach start to swell out. And then come the pressure sensations, the pain. Even right now, I'm sitting here and I'm struggling to hold my breath properly because my stomach is so pushed out that I can't take a deep breath. And so because I couldn't sleep, I decided to get up and to record this episode, and watching the clock at 6:30, the gym doesn't open until 6:30. Now, when my Crohn starts to flare like this, no matter how difficult it is, I got to get in the gym. I got to do something to get the blood flowing, to heat my body up. I got to get into some yoga, some breath work. It's the only way. I have to be an active fight back. You know, I've come to view or personify my Crohn's as my own bully, my own personal bully. And if you know anything about bullies, the best thing you can do is stand up to them. And that's exactly what I have to do with my disease, because if I lay down, it just seems to pound on me without mercy. So I watch the clock and I decide, you know what, I'm going to get up and I'm going to try and create something positive that maybe somebody else, maybe somebody else who's dealing with this will hear it someday, and make a conscious choice to do something positive in a moment when I feel weak, in a moment when it seems difficult, because it may help somebody else. And I know that every time I help someone else, inadvertently or inadvertently, I am able to help myself. I go back and forth on this constantly. You know, when people say that what I do is selfless, I say, absolutely not. It's the most selfish thing I've ever done, because I get so much out of it with every person that I can lift up, every person that I can inspire through my own survivalship. So I made the choice I was going to get up and I was going to record this episode and tell this story and then get my ass to the gym and fight back this damn disease that I live with every day, that I have come to view as my bully and my beautiful blessing for forcing me to live such a disciplined life, and for reminding me how severe the consequences ought to be for misjudgments. It's funny, when I was a kid, I went to military school, and what I learned in military school was that I respond very well to structure, to severe consequences. And that's what it takes to keep me in line, because I'm just a little bit too intense to not be restricted. Fine. I can accept that. The challenge is when you're that kind of person and you happen to be the boss and you happen to be the one in charge, you happen to be responsible to yourself. You got to kind of implement your own structure and be so disciplined as to stick to it. Well, I don't know about you, but there is nothing more challenging in my eyes than being your own personal structure. In other words, it's a lot easier for me to manage my employees than it is to manage myself. Nonetheless, if I don't do it, no one else is going to. And I've talked about this before, you know, in the struggle with Crohn's disease. I've gone through what Western medicine has to offer. And quite frankly, I've grown quite hostile towards Western medicine. And I see it, you know, largely it reminds me of the Wild Wild West, where you had these snake oil salesmen selling, you know, ludicrous poison to desperate fools. And I think Big Pharma has made of us desperate fools. Because they tell you, you know, you can just take this medicine and it'll fix your problem. When in reality, what'll fix your problem is better nutrition and healthier lifestyle. Every single time. But we don't want to do the work. We don't want to change our life. We don't want to eat healthy foods and exercise and meditate and do yoga. We don't want to do those things because that takes work. That's hard. It's much easier to just buy some shit that you can put in your body and do away with a symptom only to inherit another or many. It's remarkable how easy it is to do the things that make us feel like shit and how difficult it is to make us to do the things that make us feel good. And for that reason, I'm so thankful for this disease that I live with, because it provides me with a daily reminder of what life can be like. A daily reminder that when I choose to make bad decisions, they come at a consequence that can be so heavy that it can be crippling. A constant reminder that I don't want to be crippled. The ability to recognize what it feels like to be this strong, to be motivated, to continue this, to get stronger, more disciplined. I am far from perfect. And it is a daily battle, a daily struggle, because I do have my own demons. I've struggled with alcoholism for a while. Owning wine and liquor stores has been a challenge. And so I have struggled with alcoholism for a while. I'll be the first to put that out there. Product of an overactive mind. You know, it seems to be that it's at evening times when it bites me, when I suddenly just really get that urge that I need to shut it all off. And alcohol became that thing that I would just use to try and knock myself out so that I could get a couple hours sleep. Because naturally, I just don't seem to wind down. You know, I've got a lot of energy all the time. At times it's easy to channel it. At times it's overwhelming. And all you want to do is turn it off, turn it all off, tune it all out, numb it all out. And so it has been a struggle for me, to which the greatest answer is always structure. Every time I come to this yoga program, knowing that I have to be in a hot room at 7 a.m. for 90 minutes, it's so easy to put it down. Drop one commitment because I've already made another. And so it goes back to structure for me. You know, it's just about implementing. And this is how we work through these kinds of things. This is how people learn to adapt. And that's why I say I get up and I look for the time when the gym's open and I say, okay, that's when I have to be there. So I can't be drinking myself to sleep. No. Instead, what I can do is drink a liter or two of water, you know, and keep trying to focus my brain, try and focus my mind. Because I got people to be strong for, people who are counting on me. And I owe it to them to remind myself of that. I owe it to them to make good on that commitment, because they didn't just count on me out of nowhere. They counted on me because I made them believe that they could and that they should. And as a result of that, I got a promise on which I gotta make good, you know? Sitting here reflecting on the reality of kind of what I'm doing here and how it means that I'm gonna have people on one side of the world and people on the other side of the world, all depending on me. And it's as terrifying as it is motivating. And the crazy thing is that I know that I'll be up to it. And I know that the heavier that weight gets, the stronger I will get. And it makes me want to express gratitude to the weight, to the people on both sides of the equation. No, I'm not always fine behind closed doors. But when I'm back outside, I will be for them. I will be great for them. I will be excellent for them. Today I am going to, I'm going to focus on trying to see the positive side of a situation that is not going how I planned. And the reality is I've already extended my trip 30 days here to oversee a construction project that still will not be completed at the time when I'm done. And so I'm going to have to go back home and do the best that I can to manage what's here from there and figure it out while handling my business in the States and hopefully, potentially selling something and shedding some of the responsibility so that I can focus a little bit more. But ultimately, everything happens for a reason. So there's a reason that this project isn't happening as I needed it to. And keep listening along, because as I record these episodes, that reason will become clear to you and to me. And so we can kind of take this ride together and see where it's all going. It'll be interesting nonetheless. Well, I'm going to leave it here. And I'm just going to read something that I wrote last night. I'm calling this the motivator. No one knows what happens when I close my bedroom door. Outside of it, I'm Hercules, but behind it, I'm no more. I am required to not hurt, not to buckle, not to fall. But when no one else can see me, I've hardly the strength to crawl. Yet every morning I still rise and I put my mask back on so I can be the man that gives a man the strength to carry on. Not strong enough for me, but I'll be strong enough for them. I'll be damned if I should sleep on someone else who needs a friend. So even when I'm weak, when I'm injured, when I'm tired, I will not hesitate to be the spark that leaves someone else inspired. I will rise through every challenge to help others do the same. I will prove to every person that they have a chance to win this game. Until next time, my friends, with endless love and gratitude, this is Chris Kushner saying namaste.